What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
So I looked up, I'm like, oh, this must be like a blended marriage.
No. Yeah, no.
No, that's just outrageous.
And it's like, wow, you have nine kids.
They're like rabbits.
Those are some fertile people.
Man, they never get a moment of peace, do they? Good God. Can you imagine?
No, I can't. And no, I don't want to imagine. Like, you get to three or four, don't you have that conversation? Are we good, hon?
We've done our penance to, you know, repopulate the earth, right?
I mean, my God.
Not for nothing, but that's why that's why they both had to go and work for Fox News.
I know.
He couldn't be a representative.
No.
I mean, to support that family.
Working in government, he's broke.
I was just going to say, does the government or does the transportation secretary pay that much?
No.
I think they all pay like $1.79.
Yeah. It's like, you know.
She's going to need a second job.
Yeah, so Rachel better start doing some bigger endorsements.
She better start working trying to get Ainsley's job on the weekday show. Get off that weekend shift.
Oh, man.
All right, 6:08. Let's get to the news. Round number one, the great Dawn Stensland.
And good morning, Kale and Company. News Live this Tuesday morning, November 19th. We're sponsored by Budget Blinds. We'll talk about the forecast because it is relevant to the breaking news this morning. Crews still working to contain that 40-acre wildfire. This is South Jersey, Haynesport, Burlington County. Flames broke out last night in the area of Bancroft Lane and Cove Court. And right now, it looks to be about 20% contained. So, they've said that the New Jersey Forest Fire crews, they did establish that containment line directly. I mean, from all accounts, from what I'm hearing from people, they were fearing that their home would be swallowed up by these flames. It was that close. And so at one point, there were 20 homes in that area that were threatened. At this point this morning, and they did not have evacuations. They did an incredible job. And I'll point out to you, a lot of these firefighters, I know we have the New Jersey Forest Fire crews, but most of these firefighters, to my belief, are volunteer firefighters.
And this isn't something that has been spread because of some dope in a forest with like a campground, right? Like, this is all just a continuation of what started.
No, and you know, it's curious. You always ask great questions, Nick. It's curious that you ask that because there was another story that the utility companies there were taking precautions because they have a drought. I mean, even though we've had a spattering of rain and we're supposed to get some tomorrow night, a good soaking rain,
good.
Not what we need, but thank God. But I just wonder, remember wasn't it Hawaii? Those and other wildfires out west in California, there were situations with involving utility companies and sparks and that sort of thing.
Yep.
So now I think the utility crews are out because, and I believe here in Pennsylvania as well, monitoring that situation because of the dry conditions.
Good.
Yeah. So it was a great question you asked, Nick. And thank God nobody hurt. We don't have word of any firefighters hurt because this was a huge hot fire, obviously, and it still is. Cause of that fire still under investigation. Neighbors were drawn out of their homes, but they did not have forced evacuations. So we'll continue to follow that one this morning, and maybe even we have some folks listening that want to call in and give us an update for what's going on. The drought region across New Jersey, across Pennsylvania, that obviously fuels the situation, fuels the fire, and much needed rainfall is expected to arrive, like I say, tomorrow night into early Thursday, a nice soaking rain. That's really what we need. We have a victory for attorneys fighting for election integrity in Pennsylvania. It's one of the many cases involving the recount for Pennsylvania's hotly contested Senate seat that we've talked about pretty much every day. Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruling that those incorrectly dated mail ballots cannot be counted. And so it was. So that was the ruling that came down yesterday.
By the way, that news broken right here on 1210 WPHD.
Yes, sir.
Mike Motley was on Rich Eel yesterday at 3:30.
Boom!
Breaking that news. So this is the place to be, ladies and gentlemen. I know we tell you that all the time, but you can never, ever, 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 ever turn the station. Never.
That's right.
All day.
That's right. Cancel plans.
Yes.
Tell family to go pound sand.
Thank you.
You got to stay locked and loaded.
Thank you.
So now the question is, there are some reports that they may be looking into as far as one of those commissioners we've talked about who admitted that she knew she was breaking the law. This is in Bucks County, Diane Margulies. So is she criminally liable for knowingly doing that and then speaking out about it? And so could there be some kind of civil or criminal charges here or some kind of a censure? We will await that word, but that's one of the things they're looking into. But obviously that puts the kibosh on this counting that happened in Bucks, Montgomery, Philadelphia, as well as other counties. But Bucks kind of led that way so that others followed. And the question here is, it's not clear whether or not the counting of all of those ballots, even though I know it seemed like it, did that actually help to trigger the recount, because there's a certain threshold. And they're still trying to sort that out to let us know that, because then it becomes more relevant as far as the commissioner who admitted that she knew that it was wrong. So we'll continue to follow that one for you. We've told you that this recount, it has been underway. We broke the story actually yesterday morning. We were first to report that 6 o'clock yesterday morning here on Kale and Company News Live. So recount underway. Every county, 67 counties in Pennsylvania, must have that recount underway by tomorrow. That's the official start that they must have started the recount. And then as far as Philadelphia, expected to be done by Friday. But as far as the law goes, the law is that by Wednesday, they need to, Wednesday at noon is that deadline. That
so next week.
Next, one okay. week from today, one way or the other.
Okay.
It'll, you know, they'll get her done.
Beautiful.
So. We'll wait for that word for sure this morning. We have some good news with SEPTA. Just to update you really quick on SEPTA, because they are saying that they will go back to the bargaining table. So there were a lot of worries because SEPTA, now there's a trifecta, if you will, with three large unions, Suburban SEPTA, SEPTA in Philadelphia, and then you have the largest municipal union here in Philadelphia involving thousands of workers. So you think of no bus service, no school buses for the kids, essentially, and then no things, you wouldn't have things like garbage pickup. So they have agreed to go back to the bargaining table and that they're holding off any strike. Even though they voted for a strike, they've authorized it.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've been the epicenter of so many things lately, have we not? Whether it's locally here or statewide, this has been the hotbed of November for politics. From SEPTA to unions to recounts to Senate races to determining the whole election, 19 electoral votes. Man, we've been right in the right front and center for all of this.
Amen, brother.
Amazing.
It really is. We have, you know, there's so much going on. I'll stop it there. We're actually, yes, she's texting me. So there are some rumors and some different news stories regarding the big fire in South Jersey. So hopefully we'll get a call or two. I'm getting word that we may. So we'll look forward to those calls and those on the scene eyewitness reports. We are sponsored this morning by Budget Blinds. As I said, the holidays are coming. Budget Blinds, your one-stop shop for blinds, shades, shutters, custom drapery, motorization. Visit budgetblinds.com for a free in-home consultation. The only no questions asked warranty in the business. Schedule your holiday consultation. Ask about their special radio offer. Today, 61 degrees. The sun comes out. Like I say, tomorrow, thankfully, we will get that much needed rain overnight, but that will tee us off for some chillier weather. Unfortunately, Sixers and Flyers, a losing night for us. Sixers at Miami, no Embiid or Maxi.
No, Embiid played.
Oh, okay.
What are they? 2-11?
That's a bummer.
2-12?
They were up.
Flyers were on a winning streak, though. We lost against the Avalanche.
I think they were up at one point by like 19 points.
Are they aware that the season is only 82 games and not 162? They don't think they're the Phillies, do they?
It was brutal. It was brutal. Embiid was like a last minute, you know, because he had tummy aches, so he wasn't going to play. But then he
tummy
played.
Aches.
And then I think he was
sick. You don't know what it's
always something with that guy for 10 years.
I think he only scored 11 points. It's bad.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
And he's held together by duct tape and thumbtacks.
The sports station better hope that the Eagles go on a long run.
They'll be reporting for pitchers and catchers by Christmas. When are we going to Clearwater? Sir, you have 90 more days. Damn.
Well, speaking of the NFL, exciting news, Elon Musk with X. and the NFL teaming up. That's going to be pretty cool.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So Elon making that little announcement.
Is the NFL aware that X is full of right-wing, racist, sexist bigotry? They must have missed the memo.
It's a big opportunity. They're launching a new one-stop shop and an NFL portal.
Okay. Well, let's hope it's streamed. Let's hope the portal works better than Spaces.
This is Kale and Company Newsline.
All right, Dawn. Thank you very much. 6:17 Tuesday morning. Let's get to another big take.
The big take on Kale and Company.
All right, the big take today: Trump, the FCC, and free speech. You know, it's not going to garner the same attention as Elon Musk, Bobby Kennedy, or Tulsi Gabbard, but Donald Trump picking senior Republican Brendan Carr to head up the FCC could prove to be one of the most consequential and influential selections in his second administration. The Federal Communications Commission is about to get a shakeup for the better with the vision of restoring free speech in America, and broadcast media is put on notice. Donald Trump releasing a statement that said the following, quote, Commissioner Carr is a warrior for free speech and has fought against the regulatory lawfare that has stifled Americans' freedoms and held back our economy. Carr thanked Trump yesterday by saying, quote, we must dismantle the censorship cartel and restore free speech rights for everyday Americans. And if you own and operate one of the big tech companies, you should sharpen up on your platform's practices. Carr has already penned letters to Mark Zuckerberg of Meta and Tim Cook of Apple. And this marriage between Trump and Carr will also cause news networks like CBS to squirm. If you recall, Trump has accused CBS of deceptive editing practices and sued them for $10 billion last month after their 60 Minutes interview with Kamala Harris. And we also recall and remember Trump's interview with Leslie Stahl over Hunter Biden's laptop and the misinformation that was put out by CBS News, amongst others. And now also CBS Sports has been accused of editing out Raiders tight end Brock Bowers doing the Trump dance in highlight packages from Sunday's NFL telecasts. Carr, also a proponent of Elon Musk's satellite service called Starlink, which was rejected by the FCC recently for nearly $900 million in federal funding. Carr, also a staunch proponent of deregulating legacy industries, ending the DEI promotion practices of the FCC, and providing rural America with better high-speed internet access. And speaking of broadband internet, here was Brendan Carr on Capitol Hill before James Comer and Jamie Raskin, highlighting the failures of the Biden-Harris administration. Listen and watch this.
In 2021, Vice President Harris agreed to lead the administration's signature $42 billion effort to extend internet service to millions of Americans. It's now been 1,039 days since that program was enacted. After all of that time, not one person has been connected to the internet. Not one home, not one business. Not even one shovel worth of dirt has been turned. And it gets worse. No infrastructure builds will even start until sometime next year at the earliest, and in many cases, not until 2026.
It's remarkable. There seems to be a pattern with Kamala Harris. She was dubbed the border czar, but she never went, much less uncover any of the root causes. She was charged with high-speed internet in the South and out in the Midwest, but never broke ground, as you heard there. But for $7 billion, her and Joe, they did give you 7 charging stations for those electric vehicles. Don't you dare forget about that. The more important task, though, for Brendan Carr is restoring free speech and making sure American broadcast media isn't doing things to undermine their obligation of what is in the best interest of the people. He's also fighting to help keep AM radio in your automobiles. Corey Lewandowski was a guest on Newsmax, and he had this to say about Trump's new FCC boss. Listen and watch this.
Bring to the table is proven leadership. Number one, Mr. Carr, who I happen to know and consider a friend, has been through 3 Senate confirmation processes, and from what I understand, has been unanimously confirmed by the U.S. Senate on 3 different occasions. What he's also done is, prior to this nomination, he has notified the big tech companies that they are on notice, and if they continue to use their platforms to disparage or to subvert the will of the American people, and specifically spreading information which we know to be true, a la the Hunter Biden laptop story, there will be ramifications. And lastly, he is the individual on the FCC who notified Saturday Night Live that they are breaking, or they were breaking the law by allowing Vice President Harris on and not allowing Donald Trump on under the equal time provision. So he has been a warrior for the right on this.
Big Tech, you're on notice. If you F around, you're going to find out. And Saturday Night Live, well, you also failed this election season. Did you know that SNL's ratings were down 25% for election season from the 2020 election cycle and down nearly 33% from the 2016 election cycle? So why the drop-off besides terrible cast members? Well, according to Media Research Center, 89% of election jokes on SNL were aimed at Donald Trump. And if you recall, SNL was accused by the FCC in November of violating the FCC's equal time rule by inviting Harris on the show, but not Trump. Brendan Carr said at the time, quote, "This is a clear and blatant effort to evade the FCC's equal time rule. The purpose of the rule is to avoid exactly this type of biased and partisan conduct. A licensed broadcaster using the public airwaves to exert its influence for one candidate on the eve of an election, unless the broadcaster offered equal time to other qualifying campaigns," end quote. And speaking of the censorship cartel, how about this for karma? The Washington Post over the weekend reporting that Stanford's Dr. Jay Bhattacharya has emerged as a top candidate to lead the NIH. You might recall that Dr. Bhattacharya and two other academics wrote in October of 2020 during the fall of the pandemic that it was time to roll back COVID lockdowns. And what did he get for his expertise? He was shunned and silenced on social media for speaking out. He became the boogeyman in the media to oppose Dr. Fauci, all because he wanted to ensure that public health returns to science-based solutions, not bureaucratic failed policies. And when you look at the second Trump administration, it could definitely be branded as the free speech absolutist administration. Trump kicked off social media only to come back a few years later. Elon Musk purchased Twitter, restored free speech. Bobby Kennedy has been silenced and censored countless times. And now Trump is putting his stamp on the First Amendment with these selections. In fact, the Wall Street Journal with the headline saying, quote, "Donald Trump has a historic opportunity to combat censorship by federal bureaucrats. He should order them to report publicly their attempts to suppress speech." Because the answer to bad speech isn't less speech. It's more speech, robust speech, discussion, discourse, dialogue, and even debate. If Elon Musk leveled out the playing field on social media, then I think Brendan Carr is about to level out the playing field in broadcast media. And if you believe in the First Amendment, you should be on board with this pick. Whether or not you like what people have to say is irregardless. And that's the Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, Big Take this morning. If you want to jump in, you can do so. 855-839-1210 on social media at 1210 WPHD. And, of course, let it rip in the YouTube chat. Just go to youtube.com/at1210WPHD. And while you're there, hit the like and subscribe button. So Dr. Stocker, I don't know where that came from. So Greg Stocker. I'm just rambling.
What is that?
I don't know. I just had a brain fart.
Are you okay?
I was trying to go somewhere with it. It just didn't come out that well. I should have just stuck to my script. But we'll continue. I'll figure out what's going on with my brain, and then we'll get to Morning Joe and the fallout from yesterday, as well as
plus we have somebody
the National Football League.
We have somebody on hold whose home was
oh no
her family
yeah. So
endangered.
We'll get to that next.
All right. We'll do that on the other side. It's Kale and Company, and we are back after this here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
And you know, when it comes to your home, trust is everything. For 45 years, Kitchen Magic has built a reputation for transforming kitchens with precision and care. From custom cabinets to countertops, backsplashes, to those all-important storage solutions, Kitchen Magic gets the job done and fast. In just a few days, your dream kitchen becomes a reality without the hassle. Trust the name your neighbors have relied on for decades, Kitchen Magic. Get your free in-home consultation, kitchenmagic.com. Get this on the calendar now, kitchenmagic.com. Let's cook up something extraordinary. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Anne Marie, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Nick. How are you?
We are doing well. More importantly, how are you doing? And tell our audience what exactly you're experiencing.
Okay. Well, we are okay. Thank God. Our house is okay. It seems like everybody's house, you know, remained untouched. We woke up to the sound of helicopters on top of our house. There were just two or three of them out there. I was on my way home last night, and my son was calling me, and my neighbors were texting me, and I'm thinking, what the heck is going on? My son thought there was a house on fire, and then I started to read the alerts that my neighbors were sending me, and I live on Bancroft Lane, and it turns out there was a forest fire. So when I turned down my street, literally there were 30, at best, fire engines on our street. Those firefighters did such an amazing job. I mean, the neighbors whose houses were really affected, they're about 10 houses down from me. They literally had fire engines driving into their backyards.
Oh, my God.
The fire engines were parked in their driveways, and the smaller vehicles were going into their backyards. Then they started the control burn, which, I mean, I've never seen that before. It's not something a city girl who moved to the suburbs gets to see too often.
Sure.
But you actually have firemen walking around with what looks like a handheld a little blowtorch, and they're actually setting the woods on fire. And you get scared for a second because you're like, is this really going to work, or is this going to start a bigger fire that's going to jump the street and come into our houses? And my one neighbor's a professional photographer, and I sent on some of those pictures this morning that she had taken. And it was scary. I mean, I don't know. We didn't see any wildlife or anything running out. I'm sure they took off the other direction. And just fortunately, the smoke went straight up. So, I mean, we don't even have really too much smoke smell on our end of the development.
I was just going to ask you that. What is the air quality like for you from a breathing standpoint?
Well, when we went to bed last night, we had the windows cracked and we did have to shut them. My eyes started to burn. But overall, the smoke just kind of went straight up. There was no wind. They had said if it would have been windy like it was on Saturday, we probably all would have been evacuated. And it just, I mean, we were fortunate. We had an amazing team of firefighters, and, you know, God was with us with the weather, because even though it's not raining, it wasn't windy and it wasn't extremely cold. But it's amazing what 40 acres of burn can do. When you got up closer to, you know, just 10 houses down, you barely needed a coat. And when you got back down towards my house, it was freezing.
Wow.
So it's crazy. Yeah, I can hear the news helicopters now. They're back over our house.
Oh, I can hear that as well.
Can you hear it?
A little bit, yeah, right there, faintly in the background. Yep.
I'll open the door.
Listen to this. This is exclusive.
Yeah, it's sitting right on top of my house.
Wow.
But, you know, and in that moment, you just, you know, first thing I said to my son, we all got home about the same time, and I said, go grab the cat cage. You know, where's our valuables? Where's the pictures? Where's this? I'm probably going to get a little bit more organized today, because these newer houses, I mean, when I say newer, our houses are about 22 years old. They burn, and we had a few fires in our neighborhood. They burn in about 22 minutes. That's where you go, 17 to 22 minutes, depending upon the flames. So, you know, you start to arrange your thoughts and try and keep your cool. Once we realized we weren't in danger, we walked up and we stayed out for about 2 hours last night. And they made a headquarters behind the Pandora Diner, which just opened. And that's where all the firemen and we have forest rangers. I mean, it was something out of a movie.
Unbelievable.
Emery, this is making national news. I'm looking at the New York Post has some incredible chopper shots where you see these beautiful homes like on a cul-de-sac, and then right in their backyard, the flames lapping. It looks like, you know, nearly at the back door. For you,
yeah, first that of, was we're in
oh
place.
Oh my gosh. So
yeah,
they're calling it the Big Rusty wildfire. Why are they calling it? And does that lead you to believe that maybe that leads to the cause, or what they theorize might be the cause?
Yes, unfortunately, I mean, fortunately, we have a one of these big troll statues. It was done by an artist named Thomas Gambo, and it was really exciting because eventually we're going to have a nice park at that entrance, and we have this big troll made out of recycled materials, and it was supposed to be a fun thing for the kids, but unfortunately, it's kind of in a stagnant stage right now just because of permits and whatnot, and it's a hangout for kids, and supposedly there's footage from what we were hearing. I don't know if it's true or not, but there's footage of a car up at that area, and that is where the fire started. So I guess we'll know in a few days if, you know, what's true and what's not true. But it is where the kids go hang. First thing I did, Dawn, was I called Daniel. I'm like, you aren't anywhere near Big Rusty, right?
We both have teenage boys.
Right. I have a senior in high school. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, Mom, I was at the pizza place. So, you know, but it's, you know, it's surreal right now. I guess we're kind of still like, we're okay. So everything's going to go back to normal today. But I'm going to get a glimpse later on and see how burnt the woods actually are. But they're going to be pretty burned out. And that's where, you know, our kids take hikes and things like that. And that's where they go and probably just be boys.
Yeah.
The photo, Anne-Marie, you sent Dawn is up on our YouTube page right now. YouTube.com/1210WPHD if you want to see it.
It's just amazing. Boy, I sure hope you guys get the precipitation that we're supposed to get in the next 24 hours because you guys desperately need it.
Yeah, we're only about, I'm only 16 miles away from my office in the city. So we're really not that far out. But it's crazy how it is getting closer to us when you think of, like, Wharton State Forest, it's a half hour away. And,
right.
You know, it's on your way to the shore, and now it's actually in your backyard. So that is a little bit scary.
Well, Ann, stay safe. Thank you for, you know, providing us some context. And God bless you. And we'll try to keep everybody up to date. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day. Thank you.
Anne-Marie joining us. How about that? That picture is amazing. It was almost like a fluorescent purple tint to it in that picture.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy. And we still don't know if this was how this
was
started.
It started by a little campfire, kids smoking in the woods?
That's was what it I was wondering.
Utility? Was it? What was it?
Smoking in the woods? Like
I'm just asking the question.
Smokey the Bear from the 80s. Yeah. You know what I mean? I know. Well, the whole forest went out because somebody threw a lit cigarette. I mean, we joke, but it happens.
Oh, all the time. Yeah. All the time. I almost got hit with one today on the Schuylkill. Guy fires out a heater out the back of his window. Heater. Next thing I know, boom.
Heater.
Unbelievable.
Road Warrior asks if this area is between 38 and the Rancocas Creek. Does anybody know? I don't know.
I'm the worst guy to ask.
Because there are Jennings, there are multiple fires burning. I think that's why he's asking, because there are at least three different ones. So this one in particular, it looks like they've surrounded this one and contained it, but there's another one that has been burning that we've been reporting on.
Interesting.
Wow. Yeah. All right, if you guys want to jump in, anybody in Jersey, 855-839-1210, you can certainly call in and give us some reporting, just like Anne-Marie did. So let's get to some of the fallout from a couple of our biggest stories from yesterday's show. We'll start with Morning Joe, because yesterday we played you the fact that about a two-minute chunk of audio and video of Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough from the MSNBC Morning Show talking about how they're kind of burying the hatchet with Donald Trump. They've gone from calling him Hitler to meeting with him last Friday at 8 a.m. at Mar-a-Lago. So a couple of follow-ups to that. As Donald Trump comes out and says that the media is vital to making America great again, he vows to work with free, fair, and open press. And Trump did meet with MSNBC hosts of Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski on Friday in Palm Beach, his first meeting with the two in 7 years. And he said the following, quote, "I received a call from Joe Scarborough requesting a meeting from him at Mika, and I agreed that it would be a good thing if such meeting took place. We met at Mar-a-Lago on Friday at 8:30. Trump said the meeting was, quote, extremely cordial. Quote, many things were discussed, and I am very much appreciated the fact that they wanted to have open communication. Quote, in many ways, it's too bad that it wasn't done long ago. Trump added that they, quote, congratulated me on running a great and flawless campaign, one for the history books, which I really believe it was, but it was also a campaign where I worked long and hard, perhaps longer and harder than any presidential candidate in history." So he takes the victory lap, you know.
Unbelievable.
Odds are they didn't say anything remotely close to that to him. But, yeah, you take it for what it's worth, right?
You know, hey, they kissed the ring.
Yes.
He can say what he wants.
That's correct. They look bad. He looks great. He said, quote, "We talked about various cabinet members, both announced and to be announced. As expected, they liked some very much, but not at all. The meeting ended in a very positive manner, and we agreed to speak in the future." Trump added, "I expect that this will take place with others in the media, even those that have been extremely hostile towards me." So let me ask you this, and I don't really know what was said, what was not said. I really don't care. I really don't care if the rest of the media falls in line and follows suit, or if they continue to double and triple down and call him Hitler. Actually, I take that back. I don't want him calling Hitler because it leads to crazies trying to take off his head. But if they want to continue to make him the boogeyman, it doesn't really matter to me. I think largely speaking right now, Americans are rejecting the mainstream media. I just saw a poll. I know. How about that? We just got off of an election, and I'm looking at a poll already.
No.
But Echelon Insights polled people, and they asked, do you approve or disapprove of the way Trump is handling the presidential transition? 53% of those that were polled, over 1,000 individuals, either somewhat or strongly approve. So my takeaway from that is, to me, a majority of Americans approve of this Trump transition, proving once again how disconnected the mainstream media really is. So I don't really care what they say or what they don't say. But, Dawn, do you think that there's going to be other talking heads on the networks that now follow suit? Or are Mika and Joe kind of lone wolves in that regard?
Well, I think they're the biggest one and the first one, so maybe we won't report as much on the others. But, yeah, I think slowly this is what we'll see.
Oh, I disagree.
Really?
I think people are going to see the reaction that these two are getting, and they're like, screw that.
They might
I ain't
not,
doing this.
But, Greg, they might not come out in the way Mika and Joe did, which was like but coming out with their tail between their legs. But I think people are slowly – because think about all of their – they are irrelevant. They are completely irrelevant.
Yeah,
that's what they are.
Yeah.
And Mika and Joe basically admitted it.
Yeah, it was a ratings stunt. They were like, we can't continue to do this. We need to throw a Hail Mary, and our Hail Mary is at Mar-a-Lago, and you look like, you know, you're not impressing anybody because the right sees right through it and the left thinks you're a bunch of sellouts. I said it yesterday. This is the worst thing they could have done.
Well, they're being ripped by staffers. They are being crushed by their own. But you say a rating stunt. I've always been fascinated by that term just because of the format that we do with talk radio.
Yeah.
So is it a rating stunt to get a boost, or is it just to get people talking about them? Because I feel like we're all taking the bait. I mean, that was the number one story yesterday in the country. Mika and Joe extend olive branch to Trump. Everybody's talking about it.
Yeah.
But does it lead to people actually tuning back into them and increasing their numbers? I don't know about that.
I think people are going to tune in today to see if they react to the reaction. You know what I mean? But no, at the end of the day, MSNBC's viewers do not want to see somebody making nice with Trump.
Mm-mm.
They just don't. They want to see somebody kicking him in the nuts.
Mm-hmm.
This was a huge miscalculation by them. Huge. And, you know, if they just wanted to save their, you know, quote unquote friendship or whatever they used to have with him, then do it privately. You know what I mean? Like, why make a big spectacle out of it? I just think that they're
knowing their ego, they think they're probably starting to create world peace in the United States again. Hey, look at us.
It's true.
You know? If we can do it, you can.
Olbermann went off yesterday. It was amazing.
He's off his rocker.
But it just shows you how much these individuals, first of all, it's all about them. They live in this little bubble now together, so they have no checks and balances in their own lives.
No.
But then it makes me wonder, because of the rumblings that we've talked about, weeks before the election, Comcast is looking to dump, to unload MSNBC. And then even like 5 days ago, again, that was rearing its head. So I just have to wonder, and I'm being serious, if they think, hey, all these people are getting these jobs, maybe we jump ship. Because are their contracts tied together? They know if one's fired, they're not going to keep the other. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
So they have huge salaries. They make a ton of money. And if Comcast now wants to sell, those big salaries got to go.
Mm-hmm. 855-839-1210 is the number if you would like to jump in. What are MSNBC employees behind the scenes saying about the olive branch from Mika and Joe to DJT? We'll give you those details according to sources with knowledge of the situation. On the other side, it's Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yeah, just yesterday, Anne Marie, who you just heard, you know, we've become friends over the years, and certainly because of the South Italy trip, she texted me yesterday morning and said, we just booked. We're so excited because we're off to paradise once again, the Italian Riviera, on a gastronomical event which only conservative tours can deliver. Join me for 11 luxurious days with the professionals from Conservative Tours, the best tour operator in all of Italy, A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, Portofino, Rapallo, Santa Margherita Ligure, Tuscany, and the brilliant Cinque Terre. $53.78, yes, that includes your airfare, dining events galore, like at the wineries in Tuscany, even an authentic farm visit to see Parmesan cheese being crafted by hand, making these memories. I'm thinking of Anne-Marie right now. I mean, just so many of us on the last trip, how much fun we had. The videos, doing the Eagles chant, you know, from the Isle of Capri. That was last time around. Maybe we'll be doing that in Cinque Terre. You got to do this. This is booking up fast. You got to call toll-free 888-733-9494 or go to conservativetours.com, conservativetours.com. I mean, this is a trip of a lifetime. Hidden Italian villages you've never seen in person before, like Giacomo Puccini, San Gimignano, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, Florence and Milan. And then we'll conclude this incredible tour on the Lakes region with, listen to this, Bellagio, Orta, and Isola La Bella. Join me next spring in Italy. See you in Cinque Terre. ConservativeTours.com.
It's Kale and Company on demand. From Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Wednesday, 1210 AM presents the one and only Jimmy Matthew at the Philadelphia Art Museum stand.
Nephew of
You'll
Chris.
Get to witness the man who voted for Kamala wearing MAGA gear. Despite his erroneous voting, Jimmy is making good on his bet. 8:30 a.m. this Wednesday, at the foot of the Art Museum steps in Philadelphia, PA. You've seen him talk smack in YouTube chat. Now you get to watch him make good on his bet as he laments Trump's 312 electoral votes. Can he do it? Find out Wednesday.
And tomorrow.
What a spectacle it will be.
Yep.
And speaking of talking smack, MSNBC staffers slamming Morning Joe and Mika Brzezinski after their little summit with Donald Trump. According to the New York Post and Fox News, MSNBC staffers are furious after learning that Joe and Mika met with Trump at Mar-a-Lago. One unnamed employee vented to Fox News Digital, characterizing the meeting as, quote, cowardice and disgusting, but frankly unsurprising.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably one of their producers that hates their guts.
I mean, Olbermann is as crazy as he is, went in and basically called them grifters. So he's like, Joe Scarborough has always been a scumbag. He's always been a political opportunist.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
because the clip yesterday was circulating online of him many years ago when he had his own MSNBC show.
That's right.
Talking to RFK Jr.
I saw that.
Saying that vaccines cause autism.
Yeah. Boy, he walked that one back years later, didn't he?
Man.
Yikes.
So that, you know, it's just funny to me because everybody, you know, Don says it all the time. He used to be a Republican. Mm-hmm. And he goes to MSNBC, becomes, you know, he claims to be a conservative, but like is so anti-Trump and basically votes for the Democrats all the time anyway. But
do you subscribe to the theory that a lot of these frauds on TV that claim to live left actually live right in their private life? I get the feeling that a lot of them do. Not all of them.
I think they live
more center.
They live the way they want to live because they're wealthy and
true.
They're elite.
Yeah.
And they expect to be treated differently than all of us plebs.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they're getting a little bit of a slap of reality in the face, if you will.
True.
By the way, going back to the Jimmy Matthews running up to our museum, Sepsmar, Jesus on the YouTube chat says he plans to be there. I think Road Warrior is going. I think people, especially the YouTube chat that likes to, you know, bust his stones all the time. I think you guys should go down there just to cheer him on, just to, you know, show support. He's doing this. He doesn't have to do this.
Yeah.
Chris Forsythe said he's going to be down there. Obviously, he's going to be filming.
Right. Sober.
So, So we'll have Captain Kirk from our staff will be down there filming it for YouTube. So if you can't make it down there, we will stream it live on the video on YouTube. And I'm sure we'll put it out on the socials later. But really try and be down there to cheer them on.
No question about it. Maybe MSNBC will pick up this and broadcast and break into it. The same employee that told the outlet that MSNBC staffers were angry had, quote, become largely disdainful of the left-wing network hosts in light of the news, calling them, quote, as Dawn just mentioned and Greg, opportunistic for arranging to meet with Trump. And then some other contributors and hosts are sounding off. MSNBC contributor Jennifer Rubin called the meeting disgusting, and she said that on Blue Sky, the new social media platform.
It's interesting to me, too, because if you look at all those, you know, the MSNBC election night coverage, and every time there's a big news story, they have roundtables. It's always Maddow, Joy Reid, Lawrence O'Donnell, Ari Melber, Jen Psaki, Nicole Wallace. The Morning Joe staff never invited to any of those things.
No.
They're like an island unto themselves on that network, and they can't feel good about that.
No, it almost feels like they're independent contractors, right? Just bizarre. Katie Fang, host of the network's Katie Fang Show, made a reference on X to Mika and Joe saying, normalizing Trump is a bad idea, period. Normalizing Trump.
We can't even air what Megyn Kelly said to Charlemagne the God because she has salty language that
she does, man. She's got a real potty mouth. I kind of like that in a chick, to be honest.
Say it in a clean way, Dawn.
Well, it was beep, beep. You know, it was a lot of F words, but she was basically saying that they're blanking cowards and turncoats and ripping into them.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes.
You know,
yes.
Maybe Brendan Carr at the FCC will allow us to use words like that in the future on broadcast radio.
Nope. No, we don't want to use the word. We have better nouns and verbs that we know how to conjugate.
No, I want to curse.
Yeah, I want to curse.
I definitely want to curse.
And I'm not using pronouns either.
Yeah, I definitely want to curse.
Because AOC got rid of her, so I'm never using mine. All right, 6:57. We'll come back, kick off hour number two with some news from Dawn Stensland. Then we also have the updated details as to just how expensive the Kamala Harris failed campaign was. But before we get there and before we get to the cut sheet, the Trump dance was on full display allegedly last night from not only a running back, but a quarterback that went off on the Dallas Cowboys and also a soccer star. But we need to analyze the tape.
Yeah, I don't know if they are Trump dances. Now, somebody on the YouTube chat said that a lot of them have been interviewed and said they were doing the Trump dance. I haven't heard those interviews.
Bosa, yes. Bowers, yes. But the others, I haven't heard.
Okay.
It's kind of been a mixed bag.
Let's analyze the tape.
We will break it down. Hour two of Kale and Company is on the way.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.